Hallelujah. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? God bless you that minister music. Does everybody have a piece of a puzzle? No. Who doesn't have a piece of a puzzle? Right here. Okay. Anybody else? Doesn't have a piece of a puzzle?
Thank you, Howard.
You don't have a piece of a puzzle? Anybody else over here? Here, somebody, give me an usher or somebody up here to pass out some of these pieces of the puzzle. An usherette. Well, they're getting you pieces of puzzle. Keep your hands up. Just wave at them. Go psst or something. And they'll get you that. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to everybody who makes up this village right here, this community of believers. And I don't know if you realize just how much work it takes to pull off a camp like that, or the camps that we do up in Northern California. There's just a lot of work, a lot of volunteer, and a lot of the gifts of the body of Christ that are used and needed to pull off kids' camps like that. And only God knows the investment that we make in a child's life today, where that's going to turn out. I don't know about you, I see stuff like that, and I think, where was that camp when I was a kid? Yeah, you know, man, if I'd have been in that camp, I probably wouldn't have been in Banning Road Camp. You know, I was in camp, but just a different kind of camp. I want to minister this morning. Thanks, Rose. I want to minister this morning a sermon that I've entitled Body Life. And I want to tell you that every Christian is not only needed, but is vital. Now, we kind of know that until it comes down to our personal situation, and then we come up with all kinds of good excuses of why that we're really not needed. You don't know, I'm not worthy. You don't know where I've been, what's going on in my life. God saves us individually through faith in Jesus Christ. But He does not leave us to live the Christian life alone. He places us within bodies. In Romans chapter 12, it says, just as our bodies have many parts, just like a body has heart and the lungs and hands and ears and eyes. He says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. He's talking about the church. We are all parts of His one body, and each of us has a different work to do. And since we all are one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all of the others. Now, this weekend, we've passed out, I don't know, probably 650 to 750 puzzle parts. Now, this is a 1,000-piece puzzle. That means there's still some pieces for you. If you're not a part of God's picture of His body. See, God's building something in the earth. And whether you know it or not, when God created you, you're a part of that picture. You go, well, you don't know me very well. You don't know my actions or my conduct. I've given up the right to be involved in that picture. I say nary, nary. The reason you're here today is not because you were looking for an air-conditioned building to sit in. Maybe you wasn't looking to go to church, but something hooked you in the jaw. Maybe a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a husband, a wife, a mad mom, whatever it is. You're here. And you know what? Now that you're here, God wants to do His purpose on the inside. There's nothing like the local church when it's working correctly. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power can be breathtaking at times. And you know what the reality is? Its potential is unlimited. This church, a body, you know what this does? This offers sometimes comfort to the grieving heart. Sometimes what it does is this provides a bridge to the lost soul. This provides resources to those in need. See, I don't know if each and every one of you that come and sit in this seat actually realize just what this church, I don't know, there's lots of great churches And the analogy of the body could be the worldwide church of God or this local congregation here. Just like my body, I have a heart and a lungs and all those things that make this body work. You have that also. Then God puts us together in little bodies. And this is a picture of His body. This is a picture of what God wants to do in the earth. And sometimes this provides resources that are so needed. The other day I got a letter sent to the church, not to me personally, but just to the church. It says, "Dear Praise Chapel, on behalf of Kids with Little Smiles, we wanted to thank you for the service and the donations you have provided to children of the Kingman community over the past years. Our patients always speak highly of your dedication and service. Your efforts never go unnoticed, and we're grateful for you." Now, when I first read that, I was thinking that somewhere out of benevolence, maybe we paid for somebody's kids to get their teeth fixed. I mean, that's... So I asked, I said, do we do that? You know, because I'm thinking I got a bad tooth, you know. No. And Tracy said no. She went back and looked at the record. She goes, "I don't see any record of us paying for any dental care." She says, "But I think what they're saying is that every time people go and sit in their chairs, they talk about what's going on here." And I want to tell you, that's what makes Praise Chapel, Praise Chapel. Because the investment that we make. Here's a note from a lady. It says, "I was astounded at the number of people who remembered me from my last visit. It was like I had been going there to your church for years. I felt so comfortable attending your church. I have now claimed your church as my church away from home. Thanks for all you do." See, now, go ahead. That's all right. What that is that's just somebody that was coming into town. They're a believer. They love God. They came to church, and somehow when they came through that door, you made somebody feel welcome. You may have remembered their name. You shook their hand. Maybe it was nothing more than a smile when you were passing that made a difference in somebody's life. Because how many know you don't get a lot of smiles in our world? A lot of bummed out, broken folks running around, and this is what makes the body such a powerful thing as you and I function as a church in Kingman, Arizona in 2012. Now, I gave you that piece of the puzzle, and where's my piece? Huh? Yeah, okay. The reason that I wanted you to have the piece of that puzzle is because I wanted you to individually know how valuable your part is in God's picture. See, have you ever put together a puzzle? How many of you have ever put together a puzzle? See, it's you know what the most frustrating thing in the world is? Is putting together a 1,000-piece puzzle and getting to the end and figuring out there's 10 pieces missing. It's like, really? Like somebody broke in here and just took 10 pieces of this puzzle? See, it's kind of what happens when you and I are part of a body of Christ. See, when you're not here, we miss something. When you're not here, there's something that doesn't work right. And the reality is, we live in a world today full of pieces that don't feel connected. There's a lot of people who can't care for others. You know why? Because they're self-consumed. In psychology, they call this self-consumed. And that means is that the only problems that they're concerned about is their own little world. And the outcome of that kind of a philosophy is you're constantly feeling disconnected. It doesn't matter whether that's in a church, in a marriage, in a relationship, in a friendship. You feel this disconnectedness because you make it all about you. But you know what? When you begin to care for others, there's a connectedness that begins to move into your life. And when you begin to care, what happens? You get more connected. All of a sudden, what you do and how it affects the person next to you begins to play in to your theology. Do you know that every snapshot of the church in the New Testament is a group picture? It's a group picture of the body. It's a group picture of what God wants to do. It's a group picture of some place where God has taken individuals and placed them in a photograph. And if you notice, look at your piece. Go ahead, pull it out. Pull it out. Get it out. Just set it on your lap. Do you notice that's different than the person next to you? And you know what? It's supposed to be. That's the way that God made it. The Apostle Paul spent almost 18 months of his life in a place called Corinth. He wrote two letters there, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, were wrote to the Corinthian church. And if you study those books, you figure out that these were pretty broken churches. This was a church with a lot of broken folks in it. Take a look around. Go ahead. Nobody wants. Whenever I said that in all the services this week, everybody just looked up. Go ahead and look at the person next to you. Go, wow. No, don't do that. We're all different. And it's not that, you know, we're that because of our. God made us differently. See, healthy bodies have individual members. My body, I have lungs and I have a heart and I have a kidney and I have liver, and they all do their function. And when all of the members do their part of the function, then this body is healthy. When a member doesn't do its part, it's unhealthy. And you know what? Just like bodies, churches are like that. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, it says, now the body is not made up of one part, but many parts. See that part of the puzzle you're holding? That's you. Now you got to decide whether you want to put that piece in the puzzle. You want to be connected, or you kind of just, you know, have you ever met the strong, silent type? You know, the lone rangers in life? Yeah, I don't need nobody. I'm strong. I can do this all by myself. All by myself. Really? Just jerk your heart out, throw it on the table, and say, you know what? I'm kicking you out of the body. Sure. See, we need one another. We need, you need, even if you don't think that you're needed, I'm telling you that you're needed. Just as the body is made up of many parts, so is the church, God's body. It's made up of many parts. And we've been talking about loving one another. And this whole thing for the last several months about you're going to know their followers of mine by their love one to another, by their caring, by their nurturing of one another in life. And what that does, you and I loving one another, that allows us to work together. How many of you know it's critical that body parts work together? See, if I just get my hand going, then I walk around and some of you go, wow, that's kind of a weird, awkward little movement. See, but this hand does what this brain says, and they all work in unison. I mean, wouldn't it be a drag to try to eat and go, you know? And see, and the Bible says that God places us when the body as it pleases Him. Read a Peanuts cartoon. Lucy walks into the room and demands that Linus change the TV channel immediately. And Linus looks back at her and says, what makes you think you can walk in here and just take over like that? And Lucy looks back with a scowl and she says, you see these five fingers? Individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this in a unit, they're a force to be reckoned with. Linus jumps up, he's headed over to the TV, and he looks down at his hands, he says, why can't you guys get it together like that? See, that's a great illustration of exactly what I want you to catch tonight, or this morning, on how the body works. And if you don't understand your value in this body, then it's my job this morning as your pastor to tell you how valuable you are. And how much that you're needed. See, individually, we can't do a lot. But I'm telling you what, when you curl us up in a unit together, we're a force that becomes unstoppable. Each piece of this puzzle is indispensable. See, because if your piece don't get put in the makeup of this puzzle, when we get to the end, it's going to be incomplete. It's not going to be whole. It's not going to be all that God wanted it to be. But you don't understand. I'm a gallbladder. Anybody can live without a gallbladder. We even need gallbladders. We need all of those parts. You can't see in our body. There's all kinds of body functions that, you know, sometimes we look at the body, we see the nose and eyes and ears, and we think, oh yeah, that's the body. No, that's my head. And wouldn't it be weird if God, when God was making the body, He placed the nose on its forehead or something? And we all went. How about instead of putting our ears on the side of our heads, how about if he put it on our shoulders? Say what? You say, that just isn't right. See, but somewhere we're put together just the way that God planned on putting you and I together. 1 Corinthians 12:15 and 17, he says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, would it not for that reason cease to be a part of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, would it not for that reason cease to be a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smelling be? In other words, what he's talking to people that feel inferior. You don't understand. My part is so minute, you wouldn't even miss me if I was gone. He goes, you know what? I'm just a foot. Anybody can get along without a foot. I'm just an ear. You got another ear. It's no big thing. And he's talking about people that feel inferior. You don't know, Pastor. It's easy for you to get up there and speak because you don't know what I've done. How about this? You don't know how bad I've been. God doesn't even want me in his picture. That's not true. God said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you. I had a plan. I had a purpose for you. Now, how many know it takes a little time for us to figure out that God's plan is better than ours? Because Howard had his own plan for quite a while. I liked it better when I jumped into God's plan and became a part of God's church and began to do what God wanted me to do on the inside of my life. Could you imagine boarding a plane, going to Southeast Asia, and as you're buckling up in this plane, the pilot comes on the intercom and says, this is your captain speaking. The reason you were able to buy such a cheap ticket on this flight tonight is because we've done away with all the personnel you can't see. And the outcome of that is we've saved a boatload of cash and we've passed the savings on to you. Yeah, the maintenance guys that work on the plane, gone. The navigator who's only really needed when we fly through storms, history. Those traffic controllers and those pesky TSA agents, all gone. Have a nice flight. Make me a little nervous. I'd say, you know what? I'll pay the extra $5. Let's just go ahead and bring the air traffic controllers back. I'd say, let's go ahead and do that. And see, sometimes the pieces you don't see in a church, the pieces you don't see in God's body, see, because a lot of times the only ones that we consider important are the ones, it's like the worship team, they're critical because they come up and they play music and they get us in worship. Then the pastors, they get up and teach us the word of God. They're critical. The part that you don't see your part. See, you see this as important. You don't see that as important. But without that, there would be no this. See, and you got to understand is that your role, the part you play, makes all the difference in the world. No one in this building today is inferior. You know why? Because no one's indispensable. Let me put it this way. This church would never get off the ground without you. Hope you understand that. This church would never get off the ground. You know why? Because each piece is divinely designed to be connected to something else. Now, you can make a choice not to connect. But when you do, you subtract from the whole. This picture can't be complete without your piece in there. And I want you to understand that. I want you to feel that. See, God has shaped us. God has shaped you for spiritual significance. Did you know that you're placed here by God? Listen to the scripture in 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them. Say with me, that's me.
That's me.
No, say, I want everybody, that's me.
That's me.
Okay, every one of them, that's me, in the body as it has pleased him. God says, I have set every one of you. I have drew you. I have placed you. Isn't it amazing how you can come and sit in a body like this and feel exempt? Or feel disqualified because of something you've done, someplace you've been, or sometimes it's just as little as how inadequate you feel because you grew up in a home that didn't get you self-esteem. You got all these insecurities that we're talking about last week, and they're undermining because you don't feel accepted. So therefore, you disconnect yourself from the whole. You do that in relationships. You do that on jobs. You do that in friendships. And you even do that in the body of Christ. Time that God will help you get connected. Get hooked up with some other pieces of the body. Why? So we can become all that God has called us to be. You know, one of the craziest things in the world to me, and it's just like God. I mean, you know, the Bible says that God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise.
Yes.
You know, one of the craziest things in the world is that God calling Howard Pennington to preach. That's insane to me. Born and raised Southern California, moved to the river in, I don't know, 63, 64. Grew up on the river, just a wild little hellion. Made the paper several times. Not proud of that. It wasn't for, like, achievements in football or something. And then God comes into my life, and he comes up with this idea. I know what. I'll use him to preach. Are you out of your mind? See, because we disqualify ourselves, don't we? Because of what we've done or where we've been or what's happened in our life. We say, well, you know what? I'm not the best pick. God says, that's not really up to you, Howard. I'm telling you, I made you. I formed you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And this is what I created you to do. Now, stand up and preach. Yes, sir, sir, sir. Read a story about when they were, I think it was it integration when they mixed the schools together? When they started busing black kids and white kids to the same schools? And this one mother down south was just worried sick, and she'd talk to her daughter and sit her down. And that day she sent her off to school, and she was so worried she came to the bus stop, and she was waiting for the little girl to get off. And when the little girl got off the bus, her mom looked at her and said, how did it go? And the little girl says, oh, mommy, do you know what happened? Mommy says, no, what happened? A little black girl sit right next to me. And her mom says, what happened? And the little girl says, we were both so scared we held hands all day. I'm amazed how kids can see past the things that adults get hung up on. See, young kids, they don't know all those phobias. They don't know all those racism things. Us adults, we put it into them. And you know what? I think this is kind of a picture of what God dreams of when he thinks about his church. You know what? When God looks down, he wants to see black and white, Hispanic and Asian. He wants to see rich and poor. He wants to see farmers and business people. He wants to see couples and singles. He wants to see cops and convicts just worshiping together. Because that's what God does. Look around you. Look at the different people you're sitting around. There's no way in the world I would have hung out with you guys. Probably no way you would have hung out with me. I get it. But you know what? This is what I want to say to you. There has never been anyone like you. Ever. There's never been anybody like you. And there will never be anybody like you again. You know why? Because that's the way God planned it. Because each piece is distinct. I didn't say weird. I said distinct. And just like Paul addressed insecurities in verses 15 through 17, in verse 21, he deals with pride. He says, listen to this. I love this in the Message Bible. It says, can you imagine an eye telling a hand, get lost, I don't need you? Or a head telling a foot, you're fired, your job has been phased out? He's trying to tell them, listen, you guys, even though you don't know this, you need one another. You need, because what you lack is provided by this person sitting next to you and around you. And where you come up short, they come up strong. Where you come up strong, they come up short. And we make up the difference all around our lives. We need one another. I remember hearing about a guy that him and his wife were pretty poor, and it was Christmas time, and they wanted to buy a Christmas tree, but they didn't have much money. So they waited until late Christmas Eve night, and they went to this tree lot, and it was pretty well picked over. Guy looked at one tree that was just had just like one little pooch out the side of it, and then he looked at another tree that had the front side was basically all gone, but the back side was pretty full, and he offered the guy $3 for both of the trees. The guy looked at the trees, looked at his clock, and he thought, you know what? I either got to sell these trees for $3 or haul them off. So he took the $3. The guy went home, took the two trees and put them together and bound them with baling iron in the middle. And all of his neighbors come over and said, where did you get that beautiful tree? He goes, I bought it for $3. No way, man. I spent 70 for my tree. I didn't get near that. And I thought about that illustration. I thought, you know what? When God puts us together, there's a stunning makeover that happens in our lives. All of a sudden, something that was a little odd, our weaknesses, God ties us together with other. In the first service, I said ugly people. I didn't mean that. What I meant to say was God ties us together with other scraggly people. And he turns us into something beautiful that he planned. He makes us this beautiful thing called the body of Christ on planet Earth. And I want you to know that you're a part of that. Paul sums it up in verse 27. He says, now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part. That means it's a piece. It's a portion. It's a body limb. Each one of you plays a critical role in the overall functioning of this body. You're a piece. Got your piece? Your piece of the puzzle here at Praise Chapel. And you know what? If nobody ever told you this, I want to tell you this as your pastor. We need you. You're critical. If this is the first time you're here this morning, we're thrilled that God brought you here. We need your part. We need your part. You really need to get connected so you can help us to become all that God wants us to be. Some of you have been around for a while. You're slipping a little. You know what the truth is? We need your gift. We need your gift. God's gift to you is God's gift to us. Doesn't matter whether that's teaching or serving or encouraging or helping others. See, some of us, what happens is we miss our opportunity to minister because we're so focused on ourselves. And you know what? Sometimes we miss it because it's not the big things. Sometimes it's just the small. Sometimes it's nothing more than a smile passing when somebody walks. Hey, how you doing? Good. God bless you. What's your name? Yeah. Hey, well, good meeting you. God bless you. Good seeing you this week. Glad you're back. Sometimes it's a phone call. Just a little note or a card. Say, miss you. Hope everything's okay. Anything I can do to help. Makes all the difference in the world. Now, you got to remember, we're called to care for people, not cure them. That's God's job. Isn't it?
Yeah.
See, God thinks we're called to care for them. And the real greatness of a church isn't in how many members it has. The real greatness in a church is how many ministers it has. And by ministers, I'm not talking about preachers. I'm talking about those people that are involved in ministry, service to God. I'm talking about those men and those women who let God use them as they go through life. Use their gifts. Well, let God flow through, whether that's just a smile, a handshake, serving somebody, helping somebody out. This weekend, we'll give away, we already have, I lost my piece, forward. Thank you. Got it. That's how easy it is to get lost in the body. One little sidestep. It's like, wow, I was gone for 3 months. But you know what? When you're not here, we miss you. And there's still some pieces in this box. You know what? That means that there's room for more of your relatives, your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers. And you need to begin to invite them. You know why? So they can find their place in God's picture. So they can find their role. So they can get connected. There's so many broken people in this world that live their whole lives disconnected. The reason you're shaped the way that you're shaped, look at your puzzle piece. See, it's shaped with an intentional connection. So when you get hooked up, it doesn't just easily come apart. It's kind of like, okay, it's a fit. It molds. And I want to tell you that we need you here. Being a part of the body of Christ, listen to me as I close, and a community of believers offers all kinds of help and strength into our lives at a time of need. You know what? This church has helped a lot of people. This church has helped a lot of broken individuals become a part of a body that they're accepted and connected and functioning, have purpose and have meaning. This church is an awesome strength and help to me in my life. Now, I told you last week, some of you know that I've been dealing with some health issues. I got a virus that's attacking my liver. It's nothing critical, but it needs some treatment. Now, treatment here in America is very expensive. $7,000 to about $10,000 a month. If you don't have premium insurance or a Cadillac plan, you just can't afford treatment in America. Now, I happen to have some friends overseas that are doctors that are willing to give me treatment for just pennies on the dollar. But what that means is that I got to be gone for almost a month. I'm going to be gone for a month. I want to tell you that. Now, here's the thing that I'm going to challenge you, because so many people come up to me when I'm gone and go, you can't leave no more. I don't like coming when you're not here. You got to come here. Okay. Number one, that is a great insult to the rest of our staff. Because we got some fine preachers in this congregation. I know that what you're saying is, listen, I kind of like your quirky, out of the ballpark illustrations. I get it. But what I'm going to ask you to do now that you know what the church is and what it's all about, I'm going to ask you to be the church while I'm gone. Yeah. And I hope that by the time I get home, there's no more pieces in the box. You're running 1,000 people going, oh, we need another puzzle. We need another puzzle. You would not hurt my feelings at all. My greatest stress is that I'm going to come home and you're going to like Alex and John more than me or something. I know, you know, or Harry, you know. No. That's why we built a team. That's why we built a body. I'll close with for the third time. True story of a village in Europe. A wealthy man wanted to leave a legacy for his townspeople. And so what he did is he built them a church to worship in. The church is still standing to this day. He thought of everything. It was a beautiful church. On the day that they did this big opening hall to the townspeople so they could come inside and look at the building, one of the people noticed that there was no lamps. And they said to the guy that had built the church, "But there's no lamps in here. How will we ever get enough light to have services in here?" And the nobleman pointed to the brackets on the wall, and there was brackets on the wall. And this is what he says. He gave to every family a lamp to bring with them when they came to worship. And he says, each time you're here, the area that you're seated in will be lit. He says, but if you don't come, the area that you're seated in will be darkened. And he goes, I did this on purpose to remind you that whenever you fail to come to church, God's house will just be a little darker without you. That's a true story, by the way. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you for putting together pieces of a puzzle. God, this is beyond human ability and ingenuity. God, this is the moving of your hand. God, I thank you for every man, every woman, every home, every family, every child, God, that you've placed within this body right here. God, would you allow us to possess a connectedness so we could be a beautiful picture to a lost and dying world, so we could be a refuge to those that are grieving, a bridge to those that are lost, and a help to those that need resources in their hearts and in their lives. If you're here today and you're just visiting, maybe you've never invited Christ in your life. Can I tell you that you're not here by accident? God wants you to know that you have value, that when he made you, that when he created you, that he had a purpose and he wanted to connect your lives with other lives. If you're here today and you're part of this body and you've just been kind of just coming and showing up, get connected. We need your gifts. There's so many gifts and talents and abilities. You may say, well, you know, we undermine ourselves. We say, well, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I did like 2 hours ago. I'm telling you that God wants you connected into his body. Look up at me for a moment. You're an important part of this congregation. The success and the effectiveness of this church doesn't rest on this pulpit. That's way too much pressure on me. You know what? I'm going to tell you that I'm depending on you. I'm telling you that God is depending on you. I'm telling you that God has strategically placed you to be a part of this picture. I want you to hang on to that piece. You know what? Just put a piece of tape on it, stick it on a mirror. Every morning when you get up, just remember what you're a part of. Remember what God wants to do in your heart and your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Pray with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Come into my life and connect me to your body. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today. You can, you know, on your way out, you better shake somebody's hand. You better smile to somebody. And we'll see you when I get home. God bless you. Thanks, man.